Calculating load. Capacity requirements planning, CRP, compares the projected load against the available capacity to determine if there is enough capacity to meet the scheduled priorities. Calculating load is a three-step process, looking at operation time and order scheduling to generate load profiles. The steps are as follows. Calculate the operation time per work order, open orders, and planned orders. This step converts orders into a common unit, standard time. Simulate order scheduling, often done using backward scheduling, to determine the start and finish dates for each operation per work center. Establish load profiles. To do this, sum the operation times for the portions of each work order to be done at each work center in a given time bucket, and then repeat for each time bucket in the planning horizon. Each of these steps is discussed next. Calculating operation time per work order. Each order is analyzed to determine the amount of total standard time it requires, and then all of the orders for the work center are aggregated to determine a total load for the work center. The operation time per work order is the sum of the setup time and the run time components of the lead time for each work order, planned or open. Each order is calculated separately for each work center in the routing. Setup time will be added once per order. The run time will be the quantity times the standard time per unit. For example, say that work order 808, a planned order, is for 100 units of part number 100, in stock double. The routing shows that one part in this order, part number 202, door family A, will need some spot welding done at work center 13. As is shown in the routing for part 202, see exhibit 5-65, for work center 13 the setup time is 0.15 hours and the run time is 0.07 hours per unit. Exhibit 5-65, routing for door family A. The bill of material explosion shows that there are two doors per part 100, requiring 200 units. The operation time per work order is calculated as follows. The operation time at each work center is similarly calculated. Operation times are calculated for all planned and open work orders that will need to be completed during the time horizon. Simulating order scheduling, back scheduling. Simulating order scheduling is needed at this point, even though the actual scheduling will be performed by production activity control. Load is simulated during CRP to detect imbalances between load and capacity to determine if adequate resources are available during the period when they are actually needed. Since orders might need to be started in one time bucket and finished in another, some orders will need to be split up prior to determining the load on each work center. While there is more than one way to simulate scheduling, back scheduling is shown here as it is a common method. Back scheduling starts at the end or due date and works backward through the operations to find the start and finish dates for each order in each work center. The simulation must take into account all of the work centers through which an order must pass, the sequence in which they must pass, the order's lead time, the required load, and the available capacity at the work centers. Therefore, the inputs required to perform back scheduling include quantity, due date and operation time per work order, operation sequence from the routing, queue, wait, and move times from the work center file, work center rated or demonstrated capacity from the work center file. The basic steps in back scheduling are as follows. For each work order, calculate the operation time and determine the queue, wait, and move times at each work center in the sequence shown on the routing. Since queue, wait, and move will be on the work center master file, these elements will be the same for each work order and do not need to be individually calculated. Starting with a due date, schedule backward, deducting the wait and move time to find the final operation finish date, then deducting the operation and queue times to find the start date, and then repeating for the next operation until the initial operation start date is determined. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines a start date in part as the time an activity begins. It may be defined as an actual start date or a planned start date. This process uses a few simplifying rules to allow back scheduling to be calculated using full rather than partial days. We assume that a day is 1 8-hour shift, so we divide all operation times that consume more than 8 hours into 8-hour daily increments. Any remainder is rounded up to 8 hours, as is any operation that takes less than 8 hours. Another assumption is that all start dates start at the beginning of the day and all finish dates end at the end of the workday. Thus, if the queue time is 1 day, the operation will start at the beginning of the next day. Let's return to our example. The operation time per work order for Work Center 13 for the door order is 14.2 standard hours. This is rounded up to 2 days in the simulated order schedule. Exhibit 5-66 shows a worksheet that pulls data from the routing on setup time and run time and then calculates first the operation time and then the rounded up days per operation for the order of 200 doors. Exhibit 5-66. Calculations of operation time based on route sheet. Next, Exhibit 5-67 compiles information from the Work Center files on queue, wait, and move times, which are already rounded up to full days. Exhibit 5-67. Queue, wait, and move from Work Center files. Once these inputs are gathered, they can be used to fill out a simulated work schedule. Exhibit 5-68 shows a simulated work schedule with the final due date already filled in. This is a manufacturing calendar day for the entry of the doors into stores, inventory. The doors will be available when they are needed to complete the rest of order 808 to build 100 in-stock double doors with frames. The rest of the order is not shown. In other cases, the due date will be a shipping date rather than entry into inventory. Exhibit 5-68. Simulated back schedule, partially complete. Starting with the due date of entry into stores on the morning of day 54, the first thing to do when working backward is to deduct the 2 days of wait and move, so this brings us back to day 52. Deducting the 2 days of operation and 1 day of queue brings us back to day 49. Exhibit 5-69 shows how this process is continued until the first operation in the order is reached. Exhibit 5-69, simulated back schedule, completed. Once the simulated schedule is complete, the next thing is to determine how the order falls into one or more time buckets based on the start and finish dates at each work center. Orders that break across time buckets will be broken up as needed. This process is repeated for each planned and open order in the planning horizon. This information is then summed to create a work center load profile, establishing load profiles. The output of this simulation is a work center load profile. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines a load profile, also called a load projection or load report, as a display of future capacity requirements based on released and or planned orders over a given span of time. The load profile compares the loads that are expected at each work center and the available capacity of each work center by period. Exhibit 5-70 shows the load profile for Work Center 13 over the planning horizon. Exhibit 5-70, load profile for Work Center 13 in table format. The released load would be the sum of all open orders, scheduled receipts that are scheduled to be processed at the Work Center in each week based on the simulated schedule. The planned load would be the sum of all planned orders and firm planned orders that were also part of the simulated scheduling process. The total load is the sum of these two lines. Note that the rated capacity in weeks 1, 3, and 8 is less. The rated capacity is 114.4, but is rounded in the graphic because these are 4-day weeks. The rated capacity minus the total load is the final line, with negative values being over capacity and positive values being under capacity. This might also be called uncommitted capacity. Note also that the total load and the total rated capacity are the same in this planning horizon. The load profile is commonly represented by a bar chart, each bar representing one period. Bar charts and line graphs are easy to interpret and readily reveal whether underload or overload conditions exist in particular time periods. The report should cover the planning horizon required by the planner for CRP, which could be as long as the planning horizon used in material requirements planning. Exhibit 5-71 shows the information from the prior exhibit presented as a stacked bar chart. Exhibit 5-71. Load profile for Work Center 13 is stacked bar chart. Note that the rated capacity line is broken up based on the number of workdays in the week. The 4-day weeks have a lower rated capacity. Presenting information graphically is especially important when you need to make problem areas obvious to decision makers. Looking at this load profile, a planner knows whether and when it will be necessary to employ load balancing techniques, for example. This process would be repeated for each work center that will be used during the planning horizon. The information gained by producing reports like these is then used in the next step, resolving differences.